Hey everyone, this is Phil Pringle. Thanks for jumping on today and listening to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Hey, love you to subscribe and tap that subscribe button so that we pop up in your inbox each week when we post. And I know you're going to love today's message. I want to always help people to find their way in God, discover purpose, build their faith, and help them face life and fulfill their dreams. You're going to love this message today. John 15, people, it's got to be one of the most incredible passages of Scripture that I find delights me, draws me, attracts me every time. It's about fruit bearing. And I probably read this passage as much as any other passage, maybe more than any other passage in Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So let's just stop there, and we're going to travel through this and unfold the Scripture at each stage of the way. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, it's like he's saying, there are a lot of vines. There are a lot of things that you can plug into, graft into like a branch, but I'm the true one. I am that true vine. And he is the only true vine. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so to discover Jesus is to discover truth. Even though Israel was described as the vine of God in the Old Testament, Jesus comes and he says, hey, I am actually the true vine. Then he says, my Father is the vine dresser. So they're working together in terms of bringing forth fruit into the world. Now, then he says, as we put our lives and surrender our lives under the hand of God, he becomes like a vine dresser, which is involved in bringing forth fruit out of our lives and pruning us so that we're actually going to bear more fruit. In this particular story, Jesus is saying there's fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And then the problem of no fruit. So you've got these four conditions that Jesus is wanting us to be aware of so that we move into that place of being the most fruitful. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. All right, this is a fascinating understanding of how God actually views you and me. He is looking for fruit. And he is so intent on it, he says, if the branch isn't bearing fruit, I'll remove it. From a leader's point of view, I got to look around our church and look at areas or branches of our church that might have grown, they might have started off, and they're draining resources. They're taking sap out of the organization, out of the church, but they're producing nothing. So I need to be making sure that whatever I am putting resources into is bearing fruit. Because while I'm sharing the resources around, those who could be extraordinarily fruitful are only moderately fruitful. When we were kids, our father had tomato plants. And tomato plants grow up out of the ground. They've got little branches everywhere. And he would say to us, look, we're going to just pluck off all of these little branches and we're going to leave just two or three. And even then, some of the branches had tomatoes on them, little tomatoes. But he said, they'll be taking energy out of the plant and we'll end up with a whole lot of little tomatoes instead of a few big, beautiful, ripe ones at the end of harvest. We'd also plant carrots and we'd just dig a groove in the dirt and we'd put all these carrot seeds down and then they'd all spring up and you'd have all these hundreds of little carrots along there and we had to actually pull out way more than we left in because if we left them in, you just end up with all these tiny little carrots along the row. And we would pick them out so that there'd be one, about one every inch. Once the plants were up, then we'd would thin them out. And so the idea of pruning and thinning is a very agricultural mindset, because the ultimate goal is to limit where the resources are going to, so they're not just being spent on everything. And I've found that even in church life, in any organization, things can grow that a department starts, that some other area starts, and it's taking people, finances, time, energy, it's taking resources from the company, from the church, from the organization, and it's not producing anything. It was just somebody's fancy idea. And they wanted to keep it going because now it's up and running. They want to keep their idea alive, even though it's actually producing nothing. But God is kind of ruthless with his vineyard. He says, if the branch isn't bearing fruit, I'm not going to actually leave it on the vine. So he takes it away. Now, another word for takes away is to lift up. And there is the thought here that every branch in me that is lying on the ground, I'm going to lift it up. And that is a less brutal rendering of that scripture rather than just being cut off. It's the idea of Jesus lifting us up out of the world, out of the mud, out of a discouraging situation, and lifts us up and puts us back on the trellis. The concept of every branch in me, this is fascinating to me, that a branch could be in Christ and yet producing nothing. The whole New Testament has the in me or in him concept. That's the theology of the New Testament, that we're not just trying to obey the law, but we are living in Christ, and Christ is living in us. And because of that, we will find ourselves naturally living out the life of Christ. But to live in Christ means I'm to abide in him. I'm not just going to go through religious observances, like saying a prayer and reading a scripture. I'm actually going to be living in a consciousness of being in the presence of God and letting that modify my behavior and letting that flow through me and letting Christ in me be a reality, not just a theology, not just an idea, but actually sensing and knowing that the Spirit of Christ is in me and I am in the Spirit of Christ. When that is happening, then that is shaping my thinking, my speaking, my behavior, everything. And yet, it would seem that we can be doing that in Christ and yet not bearing fruit. How can that be? It's because we've got to take action at some point. We'll talk more about that later. But the fact is, just being in Christ is not actually enough. He says, any branch in me that isn't bearing fruit, Father's going to cut off or prune. And so the message is, live in me. Encounters don't produce fruitfulness. Abiding in Jesus produces fruitfulness. What does that mean? It means I have habits in my life, self-denying, disciplined habits, where I will pray each day, where I will read the scriptures every day, where I'm in fellowship with other believers, and where I'm using whatever God has given me to minister to other people. That is what living in Christ is. And if I am active in bringing those things to pass, I will find that fruit is going to be coming forth in my life. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. This is a really interesting thing, because he is saying, I'm going to prune you back. And even though you feel like you're getting cut back, it's so that you can bear more fruit. Some of you may be feeling like there are times in your life where you've been really cut back. You used to have a big thing, now it's a small thing. You used to be going fast, and now you're going slow. You used to have a wider range of influence, but now it seems to be limited. Maybe God has cut us back in those areas so that we're actually going to bear more fruit, so that we're going to become way more fruitful than we've ever been in the past. So don't take a backward step or a diminishing. Don't take it, if you are living right, moving forward, Don't take it as a bad sign. It can actually be the beginning of a whole new season of fruitfulness in your life. Also, understand that quantity doesn't compromise quality, or it doesn't have to. I've been often criticized for the idea of big church. And people say, like, how can you have quality Christians when you got a huge number of them? And it just seems like it's a shallow Christianity. That's a real cop-out. I would say that a quality church is going to become a quantity church. It's going to become big. Whether it's big in multi-site or in planting other churches or in just being a monosite gathering, there it is going to increase. There's no doubt. If I was visiting an orchard and the orchard has said to me, look, I want you to come and see my high quality tree. Look at this one. It's only got two apples on it, but boy, are they high quality. I would be thinking, I think that's a sick tree. I think that's unhealthy. If it's only got two apples on it. I've been in healthy orchards, and the trees are packed with apples, packed with fruit, and they're good quality fruit. Healthy churches produce a lot. Healthy churches have great fruit. Healthy believers have a lot of fruitfulness in their life. And so when we manage to declutter, cut back, simplify, clarify, and let that pruning come into our lives, and we ourselves initiate some of the pruning, we're going to find ourselves producing a high level of quality, quantity fruit for the Lord. Then Jesus says to the disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Over in Ephesians 5:26, we're told that the word of God washes, that it has a cleansing influence. When we preach the word of God, even listening to this scripture now, it has a healing and a cleansing effect on our soul. So when we speak the word of God, both the Logos and the Rhema, the written word of God and what God is speaking prophetically, we will find that the power of the Holy Spirit actually cleanses. So any plant like a vine is vulnerable to insects, diseases, bugs, adverse weather, frosts, scorching. All of that can ruin a vineyard, can ruin the crop, can ruin the harvest. And vineyard keepers are incredibly adept at making sure that insects don't infest their whole vineyard. I mean, here in the Hunter Valley near us in Sydney, it is forbidden to take certain vines or branches beyond a point into the Hunter region because they don't want any insects, they don't want any variations, they don't want to introduce into their whole culture and their countryside anything that's going to endanger the thousands of crops that they have in the area. And so it becomes really important that the whole frost thing can destroy a crop in one morning. If the frost comes and that ices up on the plants, it is going to destroy them. So the idea of you and I looking after our fruit and looking after our plants, looking after our churches, so that these things don't come amongst us, is extremely important. And one of the ways that we are able to introduce to our whole church and protect our church is by speaking the word of God. This is important because sometimes we will go for a topic and find scriptures to back up the topic and use one scripture and one story and one poem or whatever. But actually, preaching the word is what will bring healing and cleansing and protection to the church. It feeds the church. It strengthens the church. Jesus says, now you are clean through the word which I spoke to you. He could have said, now you are strong through the word. Now you are healed. Now you are wise. Now you are fed. Now you are empowered through the word which I've spoken to you. Sometimes I ask myself, how does God run the universe? And I find as a leader, these are really important. That's a really important question. And I come up with about 30 things every time and I repeat it to myself. But one of the things is that God creates the worlds. He creates his world with words. But not only does he create it with words, he sustains it with words. And so we might speak into being healing and blessing, and we speak salvation, we speak increase and growth over our churches. But to sustain that, we need to keep speaking that word into our church life, into the atmosphere over our church, into our own soul, into our own people. We might have a moment where we needed encouragement. We said, the Lord is with me. Fear not, for I'm with you, says the Lord. But we, to sustain that encouragement and that fearless boldness, we need to speak every day. Keep it going in our lives. Let the weak say, I'm strong. When you're feeling powerless, say, I'm strong. I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. It may not seem like it's a reality at that point, but as you speak it, you create a reality. And that's another way that God runs the universe. He makes something out of nothing. When you feel you got nothing and you speak it, you start to create a whole world that you are going to live in. So then Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Okay, so it's us first. We make the first step. Jesus does not force himself into our lives. We take the first step of abiding in him. We do that through the word, through prayer, as I said before, and just through developing a consciousness that's on him. If we are immersed in the world, we're going to be having a mind that's on the things of this world. Romans 8 speaks about that. If you want to walk in the flesh, think about the things of the world, things of the flesh. If you want to walk in the Spirit, put your mind on the Holy Spirit. And you'll find yourself walking in that power. You can know what you're immersed in and what's immersed in you by asking other people. How do you see me? What do you think? What do you think I am into? What do you think is into me? How do you see my life? Ask a trusted friend. How awesome would it be if when people met us, they went away feeling closer to God, or they went away from us feeling like they'd just been a little bit closer to Jesus. I've met people like that, walked away with the presence of God on me. I'm thinking, I want to be that. I want to be a walking God unit in a world of darkness so that people feel like they've touched the light. You and I are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're God carriers. And as we walk in him and he walks in us, it's a reality. It isn't just a thought, a concept, or a philosophy. It's meant to be a visceral reality that people experience through us being here in Jesus. Amen. Then he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't do anything of ourselves. Yet with him, I can do all things. With him, all things are possible. But without him, nothing is possible. So Jesus says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's the secret to bearing fruit is Jesus. If I'm in him and he's in me, I'm going to be bearing fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me will bear much fruit. The result of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us is much fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. And with it, we're told earlier in the piece that God cuts us off if we're not abiding in Jesus. And we wither. We shrink. I've watched this happen in people's lives when they just stop their whole spiritual discipline. They become small people. Small-minded, small hearts, small attitudes, not big, not expansive, not generous. And then it says, they gather together and they are burned. I've watched people who are shrinking, walking away from God, they find each other and they get together and they burn. They talk about, oh, how that church treated them and how following Jesus is so hard and, oh, you know, it's old-fashioned and there's a new way of thinking. And so all of these ideas start to fill their hearts with attitudes that burn. They become angry, become upset. But I tell you, as you abide in Jesus and remain in Him and He in you, you remain expansive. You remain generous. And in closing, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. So when we abide in Jesus and his word is abiding in us, our prayers get answered. Our prayers are powerful. And then he says, so by this is my Father is glorified, so you shall bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So this is one of the great keys of becoming a disciple of Jesus. A disciple bears much fruit. He has the word of God in him so that when he prays, that prayer is answered. And abiding in Christ means I'm going to be praying prayers that are in line with the will of God. So let me pray for you as we close today that his Spirit will fill you as you read the word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll touch each believer, each person listening to this, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll anoint them through the power of the Word of God to be strengthened, healed, cleansed, walking in forgiveness and enlargement of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the C3 Church Global Podcast today. Trust you receive something that will inspire you from today's message. Hey, don't forget to follow myself and my wife, Christine, on Instagram. Keep up to date with what we're doing and latest news. I'm at Phil Pringle, and my wife is at Chris A. Pringle. So we'd love to hear from you, and give us a review on the podcast as well. We look forward to sharing with you again next week. See you then.